It's 9:34, you are listening to the Basic Fiqh program on Radio Islam International, and we do have Mufti Zubair on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana Habib Sahib, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Saab, indeed good things are scarce. MashaAllah, Mufti Saab, last week we started off our discussion on the Islamic rituals that we need to carry out when the child is born in our family. We spoke about the Adhan, we spoke about the Iqama, and we were busy with the du'as that we should be making. You shared about three du'as. One was Allahumma faqqihu fi ddeen, and we stopped at that du'a. And then another question came through. It was slightly off the topic, but we tackled that question, and that's where we left off last week, Mufti Saab.
Alhamdulillah, we could call this program or this discussion the fiqh of childbirth. We had discussed the three du'as. I'll just quickly go through the du'as again, and then we'll continue with the discussion. Is that fine, Maulana?
Mufti Saab, we're going to have to get you back on a clearer line. Unfortunately, this one is not so great.
Okay, Maulana.
No, that's better now. I think you moved or something and it came
out. Is it a bit better now?
It's excellent now, mashallah.
Okay, man.
Jim,
okay, so let us, inshallah, just go through the du'as. If it's fine, we'll just repeat the du'as, inshallah.
Bolacha.
There are three short du'as. Allahumma inni u'izuhu bika wa zurriyatahu min ash-shaytanir rajim. Oh Allah, I seek your protection for him, this child, and his progeny from the cursed shaitan. This is actually derived from the dua of Hazrat Hanna, which she made for her daughter, Hazrat Maryam, alayhi salam, the wife of Imran, the mother of Maryam. Maryam made this dua for her daughter. Allahumma inni u'izuha bika wa dhurriyyataha min ash-shaytanir rajim. The only difference is here, we will change the pronoun. In the case of a male, we'll say who, and in the case of a female, we'll say ha. That's the only difference in the two du'as for male and in female, or let's say the one du'a for male or female. Thereafter, there is another appropriate du'a. It's not a masnoon dua, but it's appropriate dua, similar to the dua of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu for Hassan Basri rahmatul Ali. And he made this dua, Allahumma allimhu al-kitaba wal-hikmata wa faqihu fi ddeen. Oh Allah, teach him or grant him the knowledge of the book and the sunnah or wisdom, and grant him the deep understanding of deen. In the case of a female, we'll say, Allahumma allimha and wafaqihha fiddeen. So we change the pronoun from who to ha. And the third dua is Allahumma ja'alhu barran taqiyya or birran taqiyya wa ambithu fil islami nabatan hasana. Oh Allah, make him pious and make him righteous and let him excel in Islam, or let him grow in Islam in an excellent manner. So if it's a female, then we change it to Allahumma ja'alha birratan taqiyatan wa ambitha fil islami nabatan hasana. So we just quickly repeated the du'as. The idea is, this is an ideal opportunity to make du'a for the child, especially at the time of birth. When the child has just arrived in the world, this is the time when the child needs our du'as more than anything. And therefore, this is the best time to make du'a for these infants, these newborns. Who knows that it could be the dua of some great pious person at that moment that strikes. And for a lifetime, this child, inshallah, will reap the benefit of that dua. And that's the next thing that we're coming to, that it's very important to try to have something of a pious person to feed the newborn child, the infant. And this is what is called tahniq. Tahniq means placing a portion of a chewed substance of a pious person into the mouth of an infant, and preferably it should be a date or something similar. Honey, for example, could also be used as a substitute. The stahniq is a sunnah practice. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did tahniq for many sahaba, that is those babies of the sahaba who were babies at the time, you know, like Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the tahniq serves as a good sign, inshallah, that the first morsel to enter the belly of the child is the saliva of a pious person, in the hope that that piety will be transferred to that child.
Mm.
So any alim or sheikh or any pious elder, if possible, we should get them to do the tahniq of the child. And in this there is a lot of goodness. We should try and uphold the sunnah. If it was not possible, there is no sin in not doing tahniq, but the benefit of tahniq would be lost if we were not able to practice this good sunnah, this important sunnah of tahniq. However, one must be careful when we're doing tahniq, that khajur, the date, etc., take a very soft date and take the shell, etc., off, that there be no hard part of it, because the baby has got no digestive system.
Mm.
Cannot digest. Must not choke on these things here, that instead of benefit, the child is harmed as a result of the tahniq. This is very important, that we take that part that is the smallest, finest part, and we place it in the palate of the infant, and the infant sort of sucks on that, and this is how the tahniq is carried out. This has to be a small amount. We can't take one whole big khajur, Maulana, giant sized khajur, and shove it in the mouth of a newborn child and say, now I've done, mashallah, tahniq of this new baby. We might do what they call, you know, ta'niq. Ta'niq is like choking. You're supposed to do tahniq and not ta'niq.
Hmm.
Just on a lighter note.
Hmm.
Any case, this is a very important sunnah.
Muftisab, just on that note, some people make 4 or 5 tahniqs, like 4 or 5 different buzruks. Is that also permitted?
It would be permitted. It's not a problem if they do more than one person, so that they can have maximum barakat for the child. But essentially, in the beginning, as far as possible, it should be right in the beginning, just when the child is born. At that time, the first thing to go into the mouth. So what people also do is they take the khajur, they make a pious person chew it, and then they refrigerate it and keep it, and then they take it and, you know, this is then placed in the mouth of the child, because sometimes an alim or sheikh is not available on the spot. So this is then the method of tahniq they try to adopt. Again, there also we must make sure that we've given enough time for that khajur to thaw, etc. You can't take a cold substance and place it in the mouth of a newborn child. So that's as far as the aspect of tahniq is concerned. And thereafter, one important sunnah is to do aqiqah for the newborn child. And aqiqah entails the slaughtering of an animal on behalf of the child, as a mode of safety and protection for that child. So it is mustahab or sunnah to do aqiqah on behalf of the child. For the purpose of aqiqah, in the case of a male, it will be 2 animals or 2 shares in a big animal, like a cow or a camel or a bull or a buffalo. And in the case of a small animal, it will be 2 animals, like 2 sheep or 2 goats.
Mm.
And in the case of a girl, it would be one animal or one share. Now, this aqiqah should actually be carried out on the seventh day, including the day of the birth of the child. So if the child is born on Monday, for example, then the seventh day will be on Sunday.
And
so this is how we determine 7 days, not one day after the birth of the child. We count 7 days, then it will become actually 8 days. So if the child is born on Monday, we won't do Aqiqah on the following Monday, because then it becomes 8 days. On the seventh day, we will do the Aqiqah preferably. It's just a recommendation. If it was not possible to do it on the seventh day itself, then one could either do it on the 14th day, 21st day, in multiples of seven, right? And if that is not possible, any time is in order, it would be allowed. The benefit of the Aqiqah will also be achieved in this manner here.
True.
Right? And also at the same time, one should remove the hair of that newborn child, that infant, on the seventh day, and give amount of charity equivalent to the weight of the child in silver. So if that hair of the child is, say, 10 grams, it's going to be very, very little amount of hair and very light, because infants, their hair is very fine. So that little amount of hair that will come out, we weigh that hair. You're going to have to maybe take it to the jeweler, because the ordinary scale won't be able to weigh that hair. And whatever the weight of the hair is, we give that amount of silver in charity, or the equivalent. So whatever the price of silver is around that time per gram, whatever amount of grammage of hair there is, that amount of charity should be given, right? And additionally, one should name the child on this day as well. One should name the child on the seventh day. One can decide or make mashwara, or, you know, discuss the possible option of names before that with family, relatives, friends, etc. But ideally, the official announcement of the name should be done on the seventh day.
MashaAllah.
This is a recommended practice.
Sometimes the new practice in our country is that they issue birth certificate the minute the child is born in the hospital, so you don't have to go to the home affairs and stand in the queue, especially in that postnatal period. So is it can we keep that name at that moment already, or do we have to wait for the seventh day?
It is actually permissible to keep the name even on the very first day. It is advisable to announce it to everyone on the seventh day. But the decision to keep the name can be done on the first day. So, for example, the couple made a decision they're going to keep a particular name for purposes of registration of the child, you know, and for the issuance of the birth certificate and all of that. That can be done most certainly even on the very first day if they wish to do that. And then the announcement of the name can be done formally on the seventh day, or otherwise even the first day one can announce the name of the child. There is no harm in that. It is said regarding the son of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam named him on the very first day, Ibrahim. So there are instances where the name could be given on the first day as well. However, according to the narration of Abu Dawood, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the child is safeguarded through his aqiqah, which means slaughtering of the animal on the seventh day, and he also mentioned shaving the hair of the child, and giving the child an Islamic name all should be on the seventh day. This is the riwayat in the narration of Abu Dawood. After removing the hair of the child, it is also recommended to apply some saffron to the head of the child.
Achcha.
Perhaps saffron has got some, you know, heat in it, so maybe now the hair is gone, so it will keep the hair warm, it will keep the head warm. So these are not compulsory practices, but these are advisory recommended practices. And if one has the means and ability to do it, inshallah, there will be immense benefit. And one should, to the best of one's ability, practice on this to gain the maximum benefit. Now, the animal, the meat or the flesh of the aqiqah animal, this is permissible for everyone to partake of it, rich or poor, family, friends, outsiders. All may partake of it, or one may distribute part of it and eat part of it. The only ruling about aqiqah meat is it cannot be sold. Like qurbani meat cannot be sold, aqiqah meat cannot be sold, because it's done for a purpose of ibadah. And therefore, it is not permissible to sell the aqiqah meat. Now, there is also a particular dua to read at the time of aqiqah, and that is, Allahumma haza aqiqatu, name the child, say for example, haza aqiqatu Habib.
Subhanallah.
دمها بدمه ولحمها بلحمه وعزمها بعزمه وجلدها بجلده وشعرها بشعره اللهم اجعلها فداء له من النار. So this is one of the du'as that could be read at the time of aqiqah, which means, O Allah, I sacrifice this animal in your name for this child whose name is so-and-so, as a substitution, the blood of this animal in lieu of the blood of this child, the flesh of this animal in lieu of the flesh of this child, the bones of this animal in lieu of the bones of this child, the skin of this animal in lieu of the skin of this child, and the hair of this animal in lieu of the hair of the child. O Allah, accept the sacrifice as a protection for this child from the fire of hell. Right. So, this, if one is able to, one should read this dua of aqiqah. And now, alhamdulillah, the major aspects have been covered.
The question that some would ask, that maybe we're not financially well off at this moment, and let's say a few years down the line, Allah gives us the means. Can we make aqiqah a few years down the line?
Yes, definitely. If one is unable to afford the aqiqah at that time, there is not, it's not necessary or compulsory to do the aqiqah immediately. It can be delayed to some other time later in life when there is sufficient means, then the aqiqah could be carried out at that time. If, for example, you can't do two animals at that time, if there's a boy, do one animal and the other animal can be done later on.
Achcha.
So this is also an option and a possibility.
MashaAllah.
Right? So this is the way in which the aqiqah is, and all the other rites relating to the aqiqah are completed by, you know, all these things that have been mentioned, the shaving of the head. We can, people ask, do you have to use a razor blade? We say, no, it's not necessary. You can just use a machine and remove the hair, you know, just a fine cut with a machine. If the razor blade might be very rough or even dangerous, you could just rupture or cut some blood vessels on the skull or the head of the child. That could cause a problem. So one can use a machine. And, you know, very gently, as best as possible, to remove the hair without causing any kind of stress or inconvenience or pain or anything to that newborn child, the infant. in a very nice, gentle way, this should be carried out.
Also, speaking about childbirth and its ritual, ye viet, what is it? Dope mal, Mufti Sahib?
Ji, what mark is it, Maulana?
Dope mal. Dope mal, which is very widely practiced in Cape Town and other Malay communities, where the imam comes when the child is born, and on the seventh day, when the hair is shaved, then you place the hair in the water, and then he makes dua, and things like that.
So I think in principle, it may have been, you know, to uphold some of these sunnah practices, but it doesn't require the imam really to do this year. Any family member, anyone in the family, the father, the mother, anyone, grandfather, uncles, brothers, the family, they could do this year. It's not a kind of a ceremony. It's just a fulfillment of the sunnah practices. It doesn't require the imam's presence, but possibly this was, you know, in the earlier years when people were not so acquainted or learned, or they were new Muslims, so the imam used to help them in the fulfillment of this practice, and perhaps this has continued now in the generations. To be honest with you, Maulana, I was not aware of this. This is the first time I'm actually learning of it, but it is always something new to learn every day.
Jee, Mufti Sahib, there is also another thing called the Khadat and then the Dwap Mal. I was reading the Cape Muslim history, and that's where I learned a little bit of these things there, Mufti Sahib.
Yes, well, now, as I say, that, you know, originally these practices were really to just assist and help people to carry out the sunnah practices, which they may not have been fully aware of, or they were not confident in being able to carry it out properly. So the imam used to assist and help them. But it doesn't require really an imam to do that. Anyone in the family can do that. It must have been more a ceremonious thing, or maybe to get the barakah of the pious person again, that they called on the imam to do this. But if you take a place like Lanesia and you give the imam this imam sahab will be so busy. He might not have time for anything else because the amount of babies that are born every day.
MashaAllah, Mufti Sahib. We've got about 2 minutes left, Mufti Sahib.
Okay. All right, Maulana. Then, inshallah, we just want to quickly speak about the three important aspects, and that is relating to the circumcision, or what is known as the khatna of the newborn child, and then some guidelines relating to the naming of the child, and the breastfeeding of the child. Perhaps now we might not have sufficient time to discuss those details, but inshallah maybe in a future program next week we could possibly discuss these aspects as well. Because we find that today when it comes to naming a child, you know, people are not content with the so-called conventional names. You know, they want something exotic, they want something unusual, they want something very different type in comparison to what the general naming conventions are in our community. So we need to discuss this aspect, because it's very important that we keep a good name, we keep a suitable name. Remember, the name has a very great impact on the personality of the child. And if a good name is not given, in fact, the name should be changed, as we see the sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when he would encounter a name that was not appropriate, he would actually ask them to change the name. So inshallah, I think this is quite a lengthy discussion. So inshallah, in the next program, we could be discussing these aspects, Maulana.
Wonderful stuff, Mufti Saab. Inshallah, we'll pick up on this next week. And until then, we say Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
It's 10 o'clock time for the bulletin with Maulana Ahmed Waja. Until we meet again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.